The Spirit is moving all over the world, as the prophet said it would be. All over the world, there's a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. All over the world, the Spirit is moving. All over the world, as the prophet said it would be. All over the world, there's a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. All over the world, the Spirit is moving. All over the world, as the prophet said it would be. All over the world, there's a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Let's give the Lord a hand praise today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And those that are joining us on the internet, the excitement you're hearing, of course, is people responding to the presence of God as we worship. Amen. All right. We are in Daniel chapter 12 this morning to begin with. The title of the message today is The Wise and the Wicked. The only two categories of people there are. The wise and the wicked. And we have some of each. Had you noticed? Praise the Lord. We're going to pray first. Father in heaven, we are here today, O Lord, being thankful that Thou hast brought us forth from the darkness of this world and into Thy marvelous light. And, oh Lord, it's a challenge to live in these last days, because we're challenged on every side, every day. But, oh Lord, Thou art with us, and we have Thy Word abiding in our hearts. Help us now as we go into Thy Word to hear it, for it is written, "Blessed are they that hear the Word of God and keep it." Now, oh Lord, help us to examine ourselves, that we might be revived, that there might be a flowing of Thy Spirit among us and through us. O Lord, this is our desire, that the gifts of Thy Spirit would come forth, that every heart would be open unto Thee, that, O Lord, we would be yielded unto Thee completely. Come into this place and sweep over our souls, O Lord. Let Thy power come down, O God, in the fullness of salvation, for the sake of the great sacrifice that was made on the cross of Calvary. O Lord Jesus, let Thy power be now manifested in our hearts. Save to the uttermost, O Lord, and let Thy word have the preeminence. Let Satan be bound, rebuked, cast out, made powerless in Thy presence, along with all of his subordinate spirits. Amen. O Lord, let all the powers of hell be driven out. O Lord, open the windows of heaven and help us as we reach out to Thee, O God, with all of our hearts, soul, mind, and strength, O Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm not up here to entertain anybody. I'm going to speak from my heart, because I'm becoming increasingly aware of the fact that there's not much time left. And it's a good thing to be troubled sometimes. I was troubled all night long, on and off, thinking about how much time is left, how much we have to do, how many people must be reached. And the Lord was giving me scriptures, and this is where we're going to begin today, moving on into the New Testament as well. But there just is such a shortness of time. And this isn't going to go on all the time. Let me put it this way. Don't make any long-range plans. All right? Because they're not going to happen. Very soon, the sky will burst open and our Savior will come back again. I'm not a date setter. I don't believe in setting dates. I sometimes will look at a time frame. You have to do that. We cannot know the day nor the hour, but we can know the time. Jesus said we must discern the time. Amen. He said to the Pharisees, how is it that you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times? Jesus said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. And in these last days, I know it's always been this way, but particularly now, there are the wise and there are the wicked. And we'll come to that verse and focus on it in a little while. We have a number of things to do this morning. We're beginning in Daniel chapter 12, a very intriguing chapter. This is a book of prophecy. And you know, most churches today, just about all of them, ignore Bible prophecy for various reasons. Some have become so worldly it doesn't interest them at all. Others that call themselves fundamentalists say, well, we don't need to know anything about Bible prophecy. We're all going to get raptured out of here. And so they go on with their fun nights and their bingo games and their this and that and all kinds of entertaining things. And their singles banquets and all, you know, all that Tommy rot. You know, that's not what the church is about. We are here to fight spiritual battles and win them and to see souls saved. That's the business of the church. Not all these. We don't need an entertainment committee. You know why? We don't have any entertainment. Amen. Amen. We don't have business meetings because we don't have business. We're reaching out to the lost. All those committees and all those church boards, and we don't like what the pastor said. Get rid of him. Find somebody else. And you know, we don't have any of that here because I started the church from nothing. And I'm going to preach it the way God told me to preach it. And I answer to Him. Amen. And I'll tell you what, the Lord is very strict about this. You've got to be right on. I don't take any chances. I'm going to stay in this book. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, some people say, who does Meyer answer? He doesn't have a board or anything. No presbyters. Hey! We don't have a pope. We don't have any cardinals. Thank God. Amen. No, we answer to God. We all answer to the book. You and I together. I just happen to be a speaker, that's all. I don't rule anything or run anything. I'm just up here declaring the word of God. I'm one of you. We're all on the same level. Anyway. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, it says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble. A time of trouble. Such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time, and at that time, thy people shall be delivered. Amen. Every one that shall be found written in the book. God's got a book. Is your name in it? But there's a time of trouble coming. In fact, in case you hadn't noticed, we're already in it. We are a nation and a world in trouble. You know, people always try to push it off into another era. Do you ever talk to people about that? The Lord's coming. Oh, someday. Maybe in 100 years. 100 years? That's unthinkable at this point. That's right. But they always want to push it somewhere else. If they're willing to even admit that He's coming again. I have a lot of fun with sometimes with these professionals. You know, I was talking to a psychologist one time. I told her the Lord was coming, and she said, anybody who believes that, I think, is schizophrenic. She said, I'm a professor of psychology at Lawrence University in Appleton, Wisconsin, and I know what I'm talking about. I said, schizophrenic, huh? Isn't that split personalities? Well, yes, you know. Well, isn't that wonderful? Because the Lord split my old one away from this one.
Amen.
And left me this way, and I'm glad of it.
Amen.
Amen. But these people are, well, as you'll see in a moment, there are the wise and there are the wicked. Now, it says in verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. The saved and the damned, it's a fact. You know where the biggest concentration of population is going to be in the near future? A place called hell. In Isaiah chapter 5, the scripture says, hell hath enlarged herself. Hell had to make itself bigger. It was prepared for the devil and his angels, but they found so much cooperation from people that it had to be expanded. Isn't that an awful thought? Well, the Word of God tells us that there will be a resurrection. There are also going to be those who are alive and remain. Remember how the Apostle Paul taught us that? What does it mean, alive and remain? Why does it say it like that? Because it means to be alive and to remain, as in to remain faithful, remain a Christian, remain strong in the faith. Do you realize we're living in a time we can't afford to bruise easily? We can't afford to get our feelings hurt. We're going to have to really get tough. Amen. And let the Lord Jesus Christ take over and shine through. He must increase, we must decrease. Because there is an urgency of the hour, and we are moving at breakneck speed toward the last moment of time. We are on the edge of eternity right now. And even if we weren't looking at that particular day, whenever it is, how about your end? You have no guarantee you'll be here Tuesday or even tomorrow. All of us must be ready to meet our Savior. Now, he goes on in verse 3 and says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Remember how God made that promise to Abraham? Your children will be as the stars for number. Praise the Lord. He also told him the sand of the seashore. Can you count the grains of sand? Can you count the stars? The earthly children? The heavenly children? Can you count them? No. But see, you got to remember this. A lot of people lived before us. And almost everybody that's going to be in heaven is already there. Because this generation is a generation of the damned. I know we don't like to hear that. But there are very, very few people left. It's as it was in the days of Sodom, as it was in the days of Noah. Just a remnant. And it's getting worse all the time. People are running to and fro looking for a church and can't find one. What's wrong? Churches all over, but they're full of masonry. They're full of Eastern religion. They're full of every kind of evil you could imagine. They're absolutely dead, twice dead, plucked up by their roots. What a time we're living in. But God still has His Word, and God still has a remnant people.
Amen.
We're still here. And there are others all over the world. Little pockets of people here and there. And He's going to gather us all together on that great day.
Amen.
But the majority of the people in heaven are already in heaven. The multitudes, the millions, they're already there. We're just the last few apples on the tree. Just the last few berries on the bush. Sometimes those are the ones at the top that need to get shaking. Amen. To bring them down. Amen. And so the Word of God tells us in verse 4, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end," which is now, by the way, so we can open it. Well, God opens it for us. "Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Praise the Lord. Well, that works two ways. For one thing, you look at all of the trafficking that's going on. People are moving around all the time. We've got airplanes flying back and forth across the country, all over the world, planes flying. We've got Amtrak, the best care in the air. We've got all kinds of transportation systems going on, and knowledge being increased. It's exponential. In this computer age, this wired age, this time of an internet and a worldwide web. Where there's a web, there's a spider somewhere. But anyway, knowledge being increased, yes. But on the other hand, on the positive side of this, the Lord prophesied that there, through his prophets, that people would, his prophets, his servants, his apostles, would run to and fro and spread the word of God. And the knowledge of the Lord would be increased. So we have both things going on at the same time. In verse 5 it says, "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders?" These wonders. These things to be wondered at. How long? "And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever," and that can only be God, "that it shall be for a time, times and a half." Time, times and a half. Now, a time is one rotation of the earth, or a year. Times is the immediate plural. In other words, 2 years. A half, then, if you split a year in half, it would be, of course, a half a year is 3.5 years. What's that all about? I'll come back to that, because I'm going to explain it a little bit. Now, "And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished." Now, isn't it wonderful, even though the powers of Antichrist rise up, they cannot stop the power of the people of God. And people of God are supposed to have power. Do you ever think of yourself as having power? Have you been empowered? Jesus said, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." God said, "You will." Jesus, who is God, said, "Ye shall be endued with power from on high." Amen. Don't come short of it. God is ready to empower you, as he promised. This is the promise of the Father, to give you power. The devil wants you to walk around in weakness. He wants you to be intimidated by the world. Let the world intimidate you and put you down, push you down, back you into a corner. This big monster that rises up. But God can give victory in the midst of it all. Amen. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. They might be raising hell out there, but we're bringing heaven down. Come on. Draw nigh unto the Lord. The Lord will draw nigh unto you. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You cannot destroy the power of the holy people. All you can do is scatter it. When they were persecuted, they went all different places and took the message with them. Amen. Every place you go, no matter where you're scattered, if you're scattered, you've still got what God put in there. Isn't that a wonderful scripture? We're never stopped, even if we're scattered. And isn't it great when you can scatter the power?
Amen.
Huh? Just let it be all over the place. They persecuted the early Christians. The more they persecuted, the more Christians there were. Finally, the devil stopped the persecution because he couldn't keep up. There's so many Christians being converted that persecution didn't work. So he tried something else. I'll rock them to sleep. I'll give them an easy time. Give them a lot of pleasure. Secure them into the world. Draw them into a popular environment where you're okay and I'm okay. And give them some philosophy. Give them entertainment. Give them some music they can jigaboo to, you know. Huh? Come on. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. But folks, that's now.
Right.
You know what that means? That means we are living during the time of revelation. God is waiting to reveal things to you every day. God's waiting to open your eyes every day. This is the time of revelation. Many shall be purified. Hallelujah. How are we purified? Well, we repent. But then the Lord brings us to a burial in the water. Buried with Him in baptism. And then rising to walk in newness of life. Purified. The washing of water by the Word. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. You know, some of these Baptists and these fundamentalists, they'll say, oh, you don't need to be baptized. That's just the outward sign. How could it be? Unless you stayed wet. Never dried off. Every place you go, people say, where are you wet? Oh, I was baptized. I got to stay wet for the rest of my life. It's an outward sign. Huh? No, it is a spiritual act, even though it be something you do in the natural, it brings forth a spiritual result. And it's a command of God. And they'll tell you, when in Acts 2:38 it says, it tells us, oh, it's a beautiful verse, isn't it? Acts 2:38. Where the Apostle Peter cried out, the need for baptism. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so these Baptists and others and fundamentalists, they say, where it says for the remission of sins, it means because you've already got the remission. It doesn't say that. This is in order to obtain. How about the other verse where the Apostle Paul and the other apostles did the same thing in their preaching. The Apostle Paul said, arise! Now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. It's quite clear, isn't it? And God will make a way for people to go down in the water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they will come up purified, and that baptism remains. That is a washing of regeneration, springing up into everlasting life. It's always with you for the rest of your life. You reference back to it. Now, so he says, and this is so wonderful how he begins to bring a point together, and we're going to really examine this morning because I want us to understand we've got to search our hearts. If we want to be revived, we start with ourselves. We look on the inside and get that straightened out. And if everybody will do that, the Spirit of God will flow. There's no reason or purpose in looking at others and saying, well, I think they better straighten out. No, we've got enough of our own problems. Let everybody feel that way, and God will revive us. Amen. So many shall be purified, verse 10, and made white and tried. You mean we're going to be tried? We're going to be tested? We're going to be refined? We go through tests all the time. I've got challenges constantly. I don't know about you. You wonder, why isn't the Lord right there to fix it, right on the spot? Because the only way to be tested and tried is for Him to take you through something. Amen. So we're going to be tried. Trials are a way of life. Look at the early Christians and what they went through. But the wicked shall do wickedly. They're just going to keep on. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. With wisdom comes understanding. You wonder, you look around at people out there, they're all around us, you know what I'm talking about. And people walk around in a confusion. They don't know what's going on. All the signs that the Lord told us of are happening all over the place. And people are oblivious to that. How many people out there never give God a thought and certainly would never entertain the thought that the world would end? Never crosses their mind. All they can think about is the next pleasure they can obtain or how to get by in this recession that we're having. In case you haven't noticed that it is a full-scale depression. The government has always lied to the people. Remember Pentagon press agent Arthur Sylvester during the Kennedy administration? No, I guess some of you aren't old enough to remember that. Some of you are. Anybody remember when John F. Kennedy was president? And he had a Pentagon press agent, Arthur Sylvester. And on the Huntley-Brinkley report, now I'm taking us way back there, the news came out that Arthur Sylvester, government agent, said, the government has the right to lie to the people. Came right out and said it. Nobody cared. Oh, well, of course. So, you know. Hey, if that government's going to lie to me, I certainly can't trust them or anything they do. And I still maintain that the enemy of any people, of any country, is their own government. They are going to rob and pillage you. They're always with they put on this front, we are here to help you. We're going to give you health care. How do you like what Harry Reid said the other day? Only 36,000 people lost their jobs here. Only 36,000 today. Isn't it wonderful? He was smiling. He was happy. Only 36,000 lives are destroyed. Only 36,000 families don't know what they're going to do. Only 36,000 families may lose their home. But isn't that wonderful? Only 36,000. He's taken credit for a catastrophe. These are strange times. And we look at this in Daniel. He said there's a time of trouble coming. I see trouble every place I look. I just grabbed a little, I got a stack this high for the newsletter now. Thankfully, Joy helps me. Half of that is hers. She brings things in. Stack about this high of things I have to read. In case you wonder what I do with my spare time. But anyway, I just grabbed a little, just a sample here, just a few things. And of course, I could tell you about the earthquakes. You already know that we've been having earthquakes. What was the last count, Bo? It was over 500, I know. 557 in the past 30. She keeps track of that for me. Sends me emails. In the past 30 days, 557 significant earthquakes. I've never seen that. I've watched it for 29 years. It used to be like 175, 195 for a long time in the 200s, sometimes up into the threes. But five, come on, almost 600? Just like labor pains increasing in intensity and frequency. You see, that's what's happening. The earth is travailing. And this one in Chile was quite significant, 8.8, seventh biggest one ever. But because of where it was positioned, in the subtropics down in that area, it caused a little problem. It says the Chile earthquake may have shortened days on Earth. Sounds like reading the Bible, doesn't it? Because what happened is the Earth it's not concentric, it's eccentric, it's out around, it has a wobble, and because of where that earthquake was, it literally caused the Earth to speed up, it threw it off balance. As big as this world is, it is a delicate balance. That's right. Scripture says that God hung it on nothing. And so when you upset that balance, all kinds of crazy things happen. And watch it this summer, watch the weather. It's going to be different. Because the earth is not what it once was. In fact, the scripture says that it will wax old like a garment. Scripture says the earth will turn upside down. Right now, the North Magnetic Pole is racing toward Russia. And they said that the whole inner core of the earth is inverting. And where the North Pole is, it'll eventually be the South Pole. They that have turned the world upside down. Kind of strange, isn't it, to think that that could possibly happen? It's happening. And there are other earthquakes getting ready to happen. This earth is beginning to shudder and shake. It is constantly quaking. Down there in Chile, it's still shaking. They say aftershocks, but some of them aren't aftershocks. It's still going on. This earth is being restructured, and it's literally coming apart at the seams. When you look at these fault lines, do you ever take a baseball, a hardball, see where it's stitched? That's just like those fault lines in the earth. And the stitches are coming out. The thing is moving around. So we are in a lot of trouble in this world. This world can't go on much longer because it's falling apart. Even if it weren't, this world is populated primarily with num-nums that have been dumbed down by the universities, by the schools. Who's going to run this world, the next generation? The majority of the people don't know what end is up anymore. They're just kind of breezing down the street on something. They can't add, subtract, multiply, or divide. Our schools have done this. Because schools, public schools, are not about education, they're about indoctrination. And very few people escape it. And then if you go to a university, you really get dumb. And once they have really pickled your brain, then they give you a degree, a sheepskin, and you become one of them, and they send you on your way. A planetary citizen. after they put the square hat on your head, the Masonic mortarboard, and after you advance through wisdom by degrees, finally, you are one of them. You lose your ability to see, to think, to understand, but you function as one of them. Sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? Almost like a science fiction thing, except that it's real. No, this earthquake and other earthquakes have been happening. Of course, we had the big one in Haiti. We had one in Taiwan that was 7 on the magnitude on the Richter scale, open-ended. We had this one in Chile. We've had numerous others. It's constant. They said the satellites from outer space are picking up a vibration. The Earth is vibrating. It's vibrating as if it was just getting ready to blow. Well, well, well. And other things are happening. I could just grab this one. It says 100%. They did testing in the United States and all the streams and lakes. 100%. That's all of them. 100% of the fish in the United States streams are found contaminated with mercury. Every fish, every stream, every lake, contaminated with mercury. Reuters News Service, in case you're wondering where that came from. None of this is from the National Enquirer. All right? We use all mainstream sources here. And if that isn't bad enough, you know, this Copenhagen thing was a total fiasco. Amen. For one thing, God sent so much cold weather to the global warming thing. He just literally saturated the northern hemisphere with the most severe winter on record in most places. Now, what happened since that didn't work? And they want to push this green program. And talking green all the time, you want to, pretty soon every car, they'll paint it green, you know? Everything green, green, green. Well, in order to control the people and push this program, since they couldn't do it through Copenhagen, now our illustrious president, who doesn't belong there, because he's not an American, said that what we're going to do, and this came from the New York Times, so you can expect this, something to come of this. The economic advisors to Obama said the only way to do it is to put a tax on gasoline nationwide, which will bring it up to $7 a gallon. Now, if you can imagine having to pay for your own gas at $7 a gallon, plus all the fuel to transport anything in the country, this is going to cause an inflation like you have never seen before. Prices will double and triple in the stores. And people are broke now. Kick them while they're down. They're all unemployed. The government keeps extending the unemployment because if they wouldn't, the people would grab their guns and go for it right now. You can only push them so far. And there will be a revolt. It's happened in other countries. They know what they're doing. They're just kind of leading it along until there will be an open revolt. And of course, they have all these plans, martial law, suspend the Constitution, all that. Obama already said he's going to use executive orders. He's studying them carefully to see how he can best use them. And he has announced now that he's going to use the Patriot Act to enforce the census. Sieg Heil. Huh? You might as well put on a little Schnurrbart. Lift his arm up and say, Defanaho. Anyway. Speaking of which, things are going on in Germany right now. One of every four Germans is demanding to be microchipped under their skin. A full 25%. Reuters News Service. We don't read about this stuff over here, do we? You have to go overseas to find it. I get most of my stuff out of Australia, out of England, other European countries, but they're not telling us anything over here in any of these news media that are, you might as well call them Pravda West. Actually, I put more stock in Pravda than I do in these papers. And now in Europe, they're implementing the Alimentarius law, and they have totally banned colloidal silver. It is now illegal to use colloidal silver anywhere in Europe. How long until that's over here? And Bill Gates, Mr. Computer himself, had this to say in a recent speech. Okay, he said this. During his recent TED talk, Bill Gates said that the world population is headed for 9 billion people. Then he said, are you ready for this? This is Bill Gates talking here. Quote, now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, health care, reproductive health services, we could lower the population by perhaps 10 or 15%. We can kill off that many people with the immunizations and with the different things. Huh? And people hear this and, yeah. Why? Because the wicked will never understand. I understand what they're doing, don't you? The wise shall understand, but the wicked shall never understand. And of course, we know about this one. Gay marriage legalized in our capital, Washington, D.C. So all the little pansy boys and queers and fairies and weirdos are... Now, that wasn't politically correct, was it? That's what we used to call them. That's what they still are. It's not normal. And I'll never accept it. Don't ask, don't tell. Can you imagine Judgment Day coming along and they come up and stand before God? Now, Lord, it's no, don't ask, don't tell. Huh? No, they're going to tell. They're going to be asked. Here's another one of the aide that was closest to the Pope, linked to a gay prostitution ring. It's all through the Vatican. You could go on and on and on with this stuff. These are all signs of the times. This is it. And it's crescendoing upward constantly. And the reason, one of the reasons it does is the wicked will never understand. They just don't get it. You can tell them all about what the Lord said. You can show them that it's happening. You can give them Bible verses, and they'll stand there and look at you like, what are you anyway? Where is your off switch? But the wise shall understand. Well, what about this verse we read? If we back up a couple of verses here. Where it talks about, in verse 7, the times and a half. You know, I sought the Lord on that. Whenever I don't understand something in the Bible, I attribute it to my own ignorance. And then I seek the Lord. And I pray and I ask Him to show me something. And of course, I knew that 3.5 years was the length of time of the ministry of Jesus Christ. From the time He was baptized in the River Jordan until He went to the cross was 3.5 years. The time it took Him to destroy the kingdom of the devil was 3.5 years. That's all the time it took. And even though the workings of Satan are all through the world, His kingdom is destroyed. There's no soundness in it. Have you noticed out there everything is all chaotic? Took 3.5 years to destroy Satan's kingdom. God could have done it a lot quicker, but He came as a man, as we know. And He lived, oh, I'm so glad for those 3.5 years, and brought forth miracles. Then He gave His life and brought forth salvation. And I understand that we go into the book of Revelation, we find the 3.5 years, and we understand this to be metaphor, meaning that it was the time of the ministry of Jesus, that ministry is still with us. Jesus said that if we believe in him, the things that he did, we would do also. And greater things than these, meaning in number, because, again, the power would be scattered. We would go forth. And in faith, once we learn to totally submit and let the Spirit flow and get ourselves out of the way and our foolish pride and all of our things that would deter us from this happening, then the Spirit would flow, the power would be scattered, people would be saved, miracles will come forth, the gifts of the Spirit will be there. God never forsook his church. That those gifts of the Spirit will go on until he comes again. But we have to become acclimated to his will, and we have to get ourselves out of the way. I don't want anything for me. I don't want what I want. I want what God wants. And I don't care whose side God is on. I want to be on his side. They presented that to Abraham Lincoln during the Civil War one time. You know, that there were the Southerners. Actually, just for the record, politically, the South was right. States' rights. It wasn't about slavery. That war was about states' rights. And the South was correct. But anyway. And by the way, at Appomattox Courthouse, when the war was over, you had those two great generals, Robert E. Lee and Ulysses S. Grant, doing the Masonic handshake, pressing the third knuckle, second knuckle, I mean, right here, of each hand, thumb over the knuckle, clear. Look at a picture of that sometime. You'll see it just as clear as can be. They were both brother Masons. This was a project in order to advance federalism and destroy states' rights. It was all planned ahead. They knew how it would come out. So it's an amazing thing to look at, well, actually history, if you take the word apart, is his story. And what a story it is. But God's always in charge. Still is. He is the keeper of time. And the devil doesn't know when the last minute is either. Isn't that wonderful? There he is wandering around the flames of hell and through this earth and all over the place wondering, when's it going to be? He doesn't know. These demon spirits don't know. Jack Van Impe doesn't know. Harold Camping doesn't know. Some of these guys think they found out. I wonder how. Jesus said he didn't know. But only our Heavenly Father. And of course, Jesus was speaking there as a man. His humanity didn't know. But as Almighty God, of course, the mind of God knows. But that wasn't put into his human mind to know. Remember, Jesus was both God and man. All right. I want to make sure I got enough time to do all of this. Now, doesn't time fly? Das Zeit vergeht, as the Germans would say. Time, times and a half. So when you, I get sidetracked sometimes. I hope you don't mind. I take these little scenic routes. But anyway, 3.5 years was the time that it took to destroy the kingdom of Satan. And in metaphor in the book of Revelation, it refers to the ministry of Jesus Christ, which is always abiding with his people. Those 3.5 years are still in my life. Those 3.5 years are what bring forth the gifts of the Spirit in the church. It's the ministry of the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of Jesus. And the testimony of Jesus is the Spirit of prophecy. Amen. So when you look at the metaphor of that, yes, that's what it is. But is there something we're missing? At the very end of time, is the devil going to try for equal time? And in 3.5 years, try to produce his scenario, which absolutely fails?
Amen.
Let me show you something once. I believe in the metaphor of this, and I believe that it refers primarily to the ministry of Jesus and the fact that he'll be with us right up until the very end. He'll never forsake us. That is a fact. But is there an indicator in here? A similitude of prophecy that we need to look at. Let's go over to Matthew for a moment, chapter 24. In Matthew 24, of course, a lot's going on here. But there's a section where Jesus primarily draws our attention to the danger of false prophets. Beginning with verse 23, he says, "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not." All right? Now, he goes on and says, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets." And by the way, there are many antichrists. But at the end, there is a man of sin, a son of perdition, that rises up. "And shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." That's you and I. But it's not possible. Why? Because the wise shall understand. Okay? But it's so deceiving. He says, "Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not." That includes the Oval Office. "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Now, isn't it interesting that the lightning doesn't ordinarily shine from east to west, but from west to east? Watch it. Lightning comes out of the west, but Jesus is talking about a lightning that comes out of the east. Now, could it be that this also, he's drawing an analogy here and using a metaphor to indicate something to us? I'm presenting this as a possibility. I've been praying about this and looking at this, and I'm going to throw the possibility out there. Remember how the Apostle Paul sometimes, when he said, it's not the Lord speaking, it's I. This is what I think. Nevertheless, I think I have the mind of God. So he presented things that way. I'm just giving you a possibility. Lightning out of the east, moving from east to west, backwards, what's going on? Well, we happen to have a president right now in Washington, D.C., who came out of the east, and the name Barack means lightning. So we have lightning out of the east that shined even unto the west. And now Indonesia doesn't even want him. They're throwing big protests. He went over to sign this little statue, you know, when he was 10 years old, Barry Satoru. This guy is the biggest phony that ever came along. But that's just who they want in there. Anyway, we've got a guy whose name means lightning. He came out of the east. He came unto the west. And if you look at his term of office, he was elected in 2008, but he started in 2009. So 2009 was his first year. 2010 is his second year. That's right now. Look at all the damage he's done already. 2011 will be his third year. 2012 would be his fourth year. And if this metaphor of 3.5 applies, if it does. That would bring us midway to 2012, and something's going to happen. And things are not good right now. They're still closing banks. People are still being laid off. Our country is being systematically ripped apart, and the rest of the world is also falling into this one world system. You can be in something and not know it. Jesus came to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist said, "There is one among you whom ye know not." There was the Savior right with them, fulfilling prophecy, and they were looking for something else. They didn't get it. The wicked will never understand, but the wise will. And I'm presenting this only as a possibility. This man whose name means lightning that came out of the east and came to the west and started his presidency, which was really handed to him, was given the Nobel Peace Prize while he's fighting two wars and starting a third one. This guy and was born at the right near the headwaters of the Nile River in Africa. And everything about him being a fake. You know, there's so many things that apply here. He certainly fits into the realm of prophecy somewhere. And if he's not the Antichrist, he'll do very well until the real one shows up. But you look at this, and if this is the case, it would put us midway to the year 2012. And the show is over. We don't know the day, we don't know the hour, but we know the time, the season. We understand that we are in the time of the signs, and it's wrapping up. Certainly, it's worth our attention and our consideration. It may be something else, but we're right at the end right now. We have to be. Now, when people are asking to be marked with a microchip, when our earth is changing course and speeding up, what's it going to take? When are people going to... You know, you look at the news media, right after that earthquake happened, they said, "Is nature out of control?" MSNBC, "Is nature out of control?" Nature was never in control. God controls it. But they don't understand that. Well, who are these that are wise? Strangely enough, the word witch means wise one, but they're the dumbest ones there are. You know, wisdom, true wisdom, comes from God. There is a wisdom that is earthly, sensual, and devilish. We're not talking about that. Those people will never get it. When this guy stands up, they're going to support him. Eventually. They're not going to see him as an antichrist. They're going to see him as a great answer man. We'll see him for what he is. Because it is revealed to us. Wisdom comes through revelation. You don't figure it out. It's shown to you by the Spirit of God. So who are these people that are truly wise? Turn with me for a moment to Romans chapter 8. I'm racing the clock here. I've got 10 minutes. The reason I've got 10 minutes is we have to get it on a recording. Otherwise, we could just leave this open-ended. But anyway, Romans 8, verse 28. And this should give you great comfort here. As a child of God, it says, "And we know that all things," you see that? "All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Whose purpose? His purpose. I don't want what I want. I want what He wants. For whom he did foreknow. Some people have trouble with predestination, but it's very simple. It just means God knew it ahead of time and therefore determined it. Based on his foreknowledge. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. He determined the destination. To be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. You know, some people actually hear the call, but they never answer it. They never really were. Those people never really were in the book. All right? But he's saying here, you see the flowchart? Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. He went to the cross. He saved us. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. The glorification that is coming once this is all over. Amen. What shall we say then? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. I love that verse. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Again, within his will, within the parameters of the ambience of his Spirit. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that judgeth. You and I are directly responsible to him. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You know, I know when we greet each other, we say, praise the Lord, and that's a good thing. But I still like what the early Christians used to say. The early Christians always used to say, one would say, he is risen. And the other would shake the hand and say, he's risen indeed.
Amen.
Do you imagine going all over the place, in the stores, in the restaurants, you see a brother or sister, and you go, he is risen. The other answer comes, he's risen indeed. That'll make them spill their coffee. Huh? Praise the Lord. So if I say that to you, now you know how to answer, right? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. The witnesses of God are constantly killed. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. You don't even have to worry about tomorrow. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's got this thing locked up. We just have to fall in with him. Amen. Move with the impulse of his Spirit. You know, you go over to Romans 11 and it corroborates with this. In Romans 11 it says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Which simply means that when he's going to go on here, he's going to say that the Jewish people have to come the same way through the blood of Jesus Christ. They are no different. They're not special. They come the same way. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, that's Elijah the prophet, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I, watch this now, I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Amen. God said, I did it. They didn't choose me. I chose them. Even so then, at this present time, and that's right now, folks, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. That's how we're saved, by God's choice for us. See how the churches have it backwards? Raise your hand and choose the Lord. Now you're saved. That doesn't save anybody. It's God's choosing of us. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel, watch this now, those that think the Jews will all be saved, Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. Isn't that interesting? And Israel's not listed there as the bride, it says he. But the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. They'll never understand. The wicked will never figure it out. Finally. Okay. Now when that amber light comes on, I'll have 5 minutes. That's still green, so here we go. Keep your seat belts fastened. We're going to be landing soon. All right? In Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. He's giving you grace and peace. I'm ready to receive that, aren't you? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he hath, watch this, he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. He saw you before he made the world, before he said, let there be light. He had a book with your name in it. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us, that means determining the destination ahead of time. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. You see how he said his glory he'll not give to another? He's not going to let you say, I raise my hand so I'm saved. This is, everything is on him. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, he chose us. We're adopted, folks. In that big nursery, a big orphanage, I should say. He came in and picked you out and said, come home with me. Amen. You're coming with me. I'm adopting you. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. We didn't accept him. He accepted us. He hath made us accepted. in the Beloved, which is Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. How? He made it known. Did you figure out the mystery of his will? No, he doesn't give his glory away. He made it known according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. You see all this? He himself, his purpose, his goodwill. It's all on God. It wasn't you, it was him. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. We're all one family, adopted. Some of us are in heaven, some are still on the earth, but we're all the same family. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. He keeps stressing that point, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. Remember when you heard it? The gospel of your salvation. Oh, I thank God that he allows me to serve him that way. In whom also, after that ye believed, here it is, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That's the Holy Ghost. Amen. Which is the earnest, the down payment, the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession. That's you. You were purchased. You are possession of God. Satan can't touch you. Under the praise of his glory. Do you see what belongs to us in him? I don't know about you, but I am searching my soul, examining myself, and every one of us, everyone in this auditorium, everyone on the internet, all over this world that hear this, and all who will subsequently hear the recording, we need to search our own souls and clean up our own lives. Every one of us has something we need to let go of, even if it's just in thought. Pride is so deceptive. People get stepped on and the pride rises up. It's there. To be totally sold out, given to God in the Spirit. You know, people insult me all the time. You should see some of the letters I get, some of the phone calls. But it doesn't hurt me because I'm already dead.
Praise the Lord.
I'm telling you, I'm a dead man. And it feels good.
Amen.
You kick a dead man, he just lays there. To just be totally submitted to God and not be afraid all the time and worried all the time and troubled all the time. You can get to that place in the Spirit. But the Apostle Paul said we need to lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. He included himself. If a man says that he has no sin, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. What I'm going to do is I'm calling for everybody here to examine your own heart as I will examine mine, and then come and present yourself to the Lord. Say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Just take over. Just I can't do this myself. Just take over, Lord. Just take over. Amen. And he will. And the Spirit will flow. And what we're going to do right now is I'm calling. They used to have these old-fashioned altar calls. That's what we're going to have right now. We got a lot of room up here. We got a lot of kneeling room up here. You can come and present it to God. And he will begin to work miracles for you. He's going to clean you up. He's going to just come in and sweep through your heart and soul. And you'll be different today than you've ever been before. It can happen right now. You may even get healed of something. So I'm going to call for you, to, as many of you as can possibly do it, to come forward. Just kneel down and cry out to God. Come on. Let's worship him. This is an altar call. It's a call to come to God. Let him clean up our hearts and let the Spirit flow. Let him move upon us. Lovely name, Jesus.